it's important, and it is appropriate to read this. As I say, this was written by C.S. Lewis when he was reflecting on the atomic age, if you will. It's quite lengthy, so I'll just read a part of it. One thing he says in this book that he wrote in 1948, in other words, do not let us begin by exaggerating the novelty of our situation. Believe me, dear sir or madam, you and all whom you love were already sentenced to death before the atomic bomb was invented, and quite a high percentage of us were going to die in unpleasant ways. We had indeed one very great advantage over our ancestors, anesthetics, but we have that still. It is perfectly ridiculous to go about whimpering and drawing long faces because the scientists have added one more chance of painful and premature death to a world which already bristled with such chances, and in which death itself was not a chance at all, but a certainty. That was his part of his comment and his remarks on the atomic bomb, and it seems to be appropriate, as much appropriate then as it is now. Just add one more to the list of troubles and trials. The thing is that our God has promised us that He will go with us in our trials, and He'll be with us in our triumphs. And this message, this theme, continues throughout Scripture from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. My thoughts turn to Psalm 23. We heard this already, probably back when all of this started. It bears repeating. And Lord willing, we'll get a chance to go through to the New Testament too and tie some of these things together. But Psalm 23 is a psalm we're all familiar with, at least the first verse, right? We could probably all quote it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's the first three verses of Psalm 23. So in those three verses, David is describing personal experience that he has with the Lord. And I think the imagery here and the way that this is framed, the language that the Spirit inspired David to write in, to me makes it pretty plain and very clear that the Lord that's referred to here is the Lord our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Son of the living God. If we were to turn to John chapter 10, we would see Jesus referring to himself as the shepherd. So I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. And as we begin to think about the imagery of a shepherd and carry that through, it's a short psalm for six verses. So all those times when I went over 12 o'clock and told you I'd give you the time back, I might just give it back all right now. This could be short. Jesus refers to himself as the good shepherd in John chapter 10. John, the Apostle John, records those words for us in that teaching. Here David refers to the Lord as his shepherd. And he says, I shall not want. David, in his life, experienced a lot of trials, and a lot of deliverance. You'll recall that David, when he was facing Goliath, Saul tried to give David his armor. David wouldn't take it. And his response to Saul's confusion for not taking the armor as he was going out to face a 9-foot-tall Philistine was, the Lord God had delivered me out of the mouth of the lion and the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. That's a direct quote. David himself partook of the life of a shepherd. That's where we are first introduced to David. So he knows that life. He's familiar with it. In fact, his older brothers, when David would show up on the scene as they were facing the challenges, as the nation of Israel was facing the challenges of the Philistine Goliath, we see that he came from the field watching over the sheep. When Samuel came to anoint the king over Israel, because the Spirit of God directed Samuel to the house of Jesse to find the next king and to anoint him, Samuel gets all the way through the children. None of them, the Spirit of God tells him, no, it's not this one, until finally gets to the next to the last son. And David then says, and Samuel then says, well, do you have any other sons? And Jesse says, well, I have one, my youngest son, but he's out in the field tending the sheep. All of which is to say that there's some context for the inspiration that the Spirit grants to David here. He has been a shepherd. He knows that life. And he uses that imagery to describe the Lord, who then himself in his life says, I am the good shepherd. Or Peter, when he was writing his letters, would write and say, and call the Lord Jesus Christ the shepherd and bishop of our souls. So we have Scripture itself, the Word of God, referring to himself as the shepherd. There are other places where shepherd is used to describe and to refer to the ministers of God or those who serve in the temple or provide service to the people in the synagogue. Here, the Lord is referred to, the word shepherd is used, and that brings this imagery to this application and to these scriptures, to this song or psalm of David. He says, I shall not want. So at the very beginning, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He owns him. And likewise, we can turn that around and say, just like Jesus did in John chapter 10, my sheep know me and they hear my voice. Why? Because he is their shepherd, and he is responsible for and if you will, owns them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If I am looking, David says, for help or for guidance, if I'm looking for, into this in just a moment, we read it a little bit ago, if he's looking for sustenance and nourishment, natural and spiritual, then he would go to He would find that his shepherd who cares for him will provide those things for him. And all of this began to make me think about that parable that Jesus gave. He said, and I'm going to paraphrase, behold, the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't spin, and yet Solomon, in all his glory, is not arrayed like one of these. Or he would say, behold, the birds of the air. They don't build, and they don't sow, and they don't reap. Nevertheless, the Lord provides for them, and they have a place to live and food to eat. And then Jesus would say, aren't you more valuable? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As we get into this, and in these next few verses, verses 4 and 5 in particular, I think the Spirit of God inspires David to recognize that there's a little bit of disharmony. All of us like to talk about how God provides for us, and we've seen it happen. I'm so grateful to our Lord for how he has blessed Sister Cindy. That's good news. However, we all know by experience of life that things don't always turn out that way. We've watched it happen. This gets into what Paul has to write to the Philippians and to other churches in his letters. When Paul begins to say, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Because we all recognize that while God does provide for us, we also live in broken earthen vessels. And we carry around a sinful nature with us. And not only that, we live in a broken and a sinful world. My family gets tired of hearing me say this, but this brings to mind my common refrain, it is what it is. Or, the other thing I seem to find myself saying a lot is, stuff happens. Bad things happen because we are broken and we live in a broken world. We're sinners in a sinful world. Bad things happen. But what David says here and what Paul is referring to in his letter to the Philippians, and keep in mind, that letter was written by Paul to the church in Philippi from a prison in Rome. And he was sitting in that prison cell waiting to find out when they were going to kill him. But he starts that letter to me to live as Christ and to die as gain. And in that letter, Paul, by the Spirit, would write over and over again about joy. So all we have is a comparison or a contrast. We know and we have experienced that our God, who is our shepherd, He provides for us. I'll tell you this, in my personal experience, there have been plenty of times where I've looked at the check statement, the checking account statement, and I don't know how we did it, but we ended up in the positive. And so all I do is say, thank the Lord. He provides for us. We've all experienced it. But we all also know that the world is full of sin and darkness, of wicked people, and this world is broken, and bad things happen. So how do you reconcile those things? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So David is going to talk about how God, the Lord, his shepherd, provides for him. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There are a lot of ways in which we could imply those images. I think at the highest level, what we can understand from what the Word of God says here is, the Lord is my shepherd, and He provides a place of rest and restoration for me. Green pastures and still waters. Now, if we were to make it more direct, the green pastures and the still waters, we can find images and references in Scripture for rivers and for streams. And what I have found when I'm looking at rivers and streams is they're like in Psalms. David writes in other places in the Psalms, he talks about a river which flows from the throne of God, whose streams thereof make glad the cities and makes glad Jerusalem. Refers to, I believe, God's people. The streams of living waters, Jesus refers to those. He's talking to the woman by the well in Samaria. He said, if you had known who you were talking to, you could ask of him, and he would give to you living waters, and you would never thirst again. We're talking about life. We're talking about the love and the grace of God. Spiritual streams, still, which is to say, peaceful, restful waters by which we can dwell and be refreshed in this dark world. There are times of darkness and trial, but our shepherd provides for us, and he gives us a refreshing, nourishing, and renewing drink from these streams of living waters, which is often a way to describe his Spirit. It's often a way used to describe his love. So God, our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, our shepherd, provides for us and knows that we need refreshment in this world, in a dry and thirsty land. He brings us to those restful waters, those peaceful streams, whereby we can drink and we can find refreshment and renewal and restoration. But also, he makes us to lie down in green pastures. There again is another peaceful, the fancy word, to no somebody's surprise, is a pastoral scene to describe the pasture. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. When I think about green pastures, I think about the food that is necessary for the sheep to eat, something to give them strength, to provide of energy so that the body can heal. God does that for us too. Nourishment. We can talk about natural nourishment, but I find myself more often than not when reading this psalm thinking about spiritual nourishment. The Word of God, His covenant and His promises, those things that He has said to His people to declare unto us that there is nothing that can separate us from His love. Which ought to spark another thought and another memory. We could go to Paul's writings in the letter to the Romans where he talks about that very thing. So what can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Not a single thing. And he begins to list those things. Not something present, nothing past, nothing to come. not a life nor death nor any other creature, not height nor depth. I've got all of those out of order, but somewhere or another, they're all listed in there out of Romans chapter 8. The covenant and the promises of God, that declaration that He made before the foundation of the world to choose out for Himself a people and to send and to come Himself to send His only begotten Son to shed His blood and to die for us, the Good Shepherd, which layeth down His life for the sheep. God provides for us. He provides for us the nourishment and the meat of His covenant and His promises, revealing to us by the Spirit and by His holy word that He has delivered us from the wrath that is to come, that He has justified us by the shedding of His own precious blood, and that He chose us in Him, the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love and that grace which is nourishing and refreshing to us, which renews and restores us from day to day. We can't go very long naturally without food and without water. Why do we think that we can do the same thing spiritually and turn away from our shepherd and not eat from the pastures to which He has taken us or drink from the waters beside which He has led us? If it's true naturally, why do we think it's any different spiritually? And yet we do. We turn away to the things of the world and turn away from these pastures and streams and still waters to which He has led us. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He causes us to walk in His own light. He delivers us along the way, showing us the path by which we should walk, so that we might find peace and rest, so that we might find nourishment and encouragement along life's dark pathway. He teaches us the way to go. And so many times we turn away. I was talking with a friend of mine at the office the other day, and I was telling him how troubled these things can make a person. And I said, and so we'll look to our God and we'll lift up our prayers and we'll ask God why these things are so. Or tell God if He would just do this, things would be fine. And then I grinned and he grinned back at me because I think he knew where I was going. And I said, and so we are turning to our God and telling Him, well, if I were in charge, I would do it differently. And then I followed up my own remark and I said, and to that person I'll say, thank God you're not. I'd rather that He be in charge. He knows way more than I do. And He is able to act righteously and perfectly in harmony with His own good pleasure and His own will and do that which is just and right, even though I may not understand it. And that's where David gets into in these next couple of verses. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. These also are probably familiar words to us, but let us consider now. Here's where I think the Spirit of God and God's Word is pointing out to us, or is showing to us, that yes, there is a seeming contradiction. We know God provides for us. He takes us by the green pastures and by the still waters. He restores our soul. He leads us and guides us. Just like we sang earlier this morning, He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, word with heavenly comfort fraught. He leads us. We know this. But there are times in our lives when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We walk through dark places. We go through trials. Well, how do you reconcile these things? If God were truly God, then He would never allow His people to face such things. Pause. Back up. You've now just said, well, if I were in charge, we'd be in trouble. David here, Paul in his letters, understand and expressing the thought the plain truth that we walk through valleys of shadows of death, and that could even refer directly to the coming up to the precipice right next to death itself. Perhaps it means coming up to that place of darkness and trial and travail. There are a lot of ways that we could understand the valley of the shadow of death. And I have to correct myself. I have been thinking about it, the shadow of the valley of death, which may express the sense, but it's not what it says. When we think about what it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, when I am walking in the midst of a trial, when I am facing death itself, I fear no evil, because thou art with me. My shepherd is there with me. Yes, I'm going through a trial. And yes, I may be facing the chilling hand of death. But my good shepherd is right there beside me. And his light is light in the darkness. His hope is my strength. His righteousness is my justification. He is everything to me. And he, even though I am walking through that valley, he is right there leading me and guiding me to see me through to the other side. So when I read this psalm and I begin to contemplate the words that the Spirit of God inspired David with, he says, though I am walking in the midst of these trials, though I am facing even death, my God, my Lord, my shepherd is there with me. Notice it doesn't say that, and then all of a sudden, I'm out of the valley and there's light and singing. David plainly says, and Paul plainly says, I've learned in whatsoever state I am. And just before all of that in his Philippian letter, he's talking about being abased and being hungry and being without some place to rest. But God still provides for us, even if it's light, so that we can see a little bit in the darkness. We'll still be in darkness, but he's there with us. And that's what David is describing here. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When we begin to think about a shepherd and the office that he holds, the responsibility that he bears for the sheep and for the flock, we understand that whatever we might say about the rod and the staff, we understand that the shepherd, in using these tools of his trade, so to speak, is providing protection and leadership and guidance. The shepherd leads and guides the sheep, and he protects them from the predators and from danger. Yea, though I walk through this valley, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy protection and thy leadership, thy providence, they comfort me. They are my comfort. Even in the valley. Even when the great and mighty peaks are leaned over and it seems as though they might fall on top of us, my shepherd is there. It's just as Jesus would say to his disciples in the ship. They felt like they were about to be overwhelmed with the great storm. The waters were pouring over the gunwales and the sides of the ship. And they went to the back of the ship. They found Jesus there asleep. They woke him up. Master, don't you care? We're about to die. And he got out on the bow of that ship. He looked square into the eye of that storm. And the master of wind and wave gave a command. He said, peace, be still. And the wind stopped. The waves crashed till there was stillness and they were flat. I don't buy anymore. I used to think this way. I don't buy anymore that there was any time lapse. It didn't take any time for peace be still to hit that storm and everything went still. Because the Creator gave a command of the creation and it had no choice but to obey His command. And then He turned to His disciples and you remember what He said? Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Why? Because the shepherd was there. And even if he's asleep, there could be no harm come to that ship or to any of the other ships that were with them or to anybody in any of the boats. Because the shepherd is there. Now, they were still in the middle of that storm. That's what I think David is talking about here. I am walking through the valley, but I am not fearing calamity because my shepherd is there with me in the valley. His leadership and his providence, his power and his authority and his concern and care and love for me gives me comfort and it's light on my way. Thou preparest of mine enemies. So now we have almost a scene of battle here. And the enemies arrayed against David. And we know he faced that more than once. He says, even in the midst of mine enemies, when they are encamped around about me, dressed for war with a desire to take my life, even there in that dangerous place, my shepherd is able by his own power and because of his care and protection over me, is able to prepare for me a table, a feast, a place where I can even find nourishment and sustenance in the midst of those who are trying to take my life, midst of my enemies. God even prepares for us a table there. So as I begin to think about Psalm 23 and the things that our brother prayed about this morning, I begin to see a little bit more about what might be in this psalm and the words that Paul and others have written in those New Testament letters when they begin to say such things. It is not, brothers and sisters, that if we will just worship God, that everything will be peaches and cream. Instead, what I find to be true, and I imagine that I will experience this more as the days go by, what I find is that our Lord and our God, He provides for us and does take us to those places where we can find peace and rest. His church is one place like that. The presence of His people is one place like that. His own presence is a place like that. But we all know that we face trials and tribulations in this life. So how do we reconcile that? Wouldn't a good God could protect us and keep us from harm at all times? Now we have to remember that we're living in a broken world. And we endure the consequences of sin, not only the consequences of our own sin, but the sin of others. This world is a dark place. And there are some things, there are a lot of things that we have no control over. There's trouble and trial that we will face. But even in the valley of the shadow of death, even in the midst of mine enemies, my shepherd has not forsaken me. And he provides for me. He guides me and he protects me. Which is to say, just as scripture in elsewhere in God's word says, and he will not tempt you, that is, try you or test you beyond what you can bear. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. From what? Perhaps from the knowledge that even in the valley of the shadow of death, even though we have had those times of peace and rest, and now we may be going through a time of trial and tribulation, even in that place, our God is with us. He's with us in triumph and in peace. He's with us in trial and in trouble. And the anointing oil that is dropped upon our heads is like that anointing that oil that we read about that was poured on the head of Aaron. And in other places we find that oil and anointing is often used to refer to the Holy Ghost and to the Spirit. God anoints us and sanctifies us and sets us apart and aside for His service because of the great love that He has for us. Because He's our shepherd. And He's a good one. And He gives His life for us. That's the Lord that we worship. And David here is saying, I have experienced this peace. I know those places of rest. My shepherd takes me to those places. But also when I should walk and wander through the valley of the shadow of death, He is there with me too. And He is walking beside me and leading me and guiding me so that I might come out from that valley on the other side. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And it is because our good shepherd is with us in the peaceful green pastures beside the still waters, and also with us in the valley of the shadow of death and in the midst of our enemies. If God is with us, Scripture says, who can be against us? For it is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. What can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Not a single solitary thing. And He goes with us even in those dark places. I'll go ahead and say this because it comes to mind. He certainly didn't take us there. But He walks with us there. And He delivers us through that. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. How good is our God? How good is our shepherd to take us to peaceful green pastures and still waters so that we might be nourished and that we might be refreshed along the way? How good is our good shepherd who walks with us even through the valley of the shadow of death, who Himself laid down His life, and who, thanks be to God, also had the power to take it up again, which He did in demonstration of His righteousness in which we are dressed. Goodness and mercy follows us, for the Lord has not had upon us wrath and judgment, but instead poured upon the Lord Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, that wrath and that judgment, and has instead bestowed upon us mercy, that we might walk in grace and in love and in holiness before Him, not because of ourselves, but because of Him. And we back up again. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Because He is righteous, He has delivered us, and He has died for us, for the joy that was set before Him, that joy of seeing His people with Him in eternal and in immortal glory, dwelling with Him in the halls of heaven forever, with no more tears, no more darkness, and the gates of that city shall never more be locked. But instead, all men shall worship and shall see and dwell in the light which comes from God and from His throne. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One day we'll no longer be in this house. We won't be in this tabernacle, this earthly tabernacle of our bodies. But we know one sweet day we shall rest. Our bodies shall lie down in the grave. And our spirits shall be with the Lord. And when He comes back, He will bring with Him the whole host of the saints. And every one of those spirits shall be reunited with those bodies, and mortality shall be swallowed up in immortality, and corruption shall be swallowed up in incorruption, and we shall sing that new song, O death, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And it'll be all swallowed up in the victory of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness, and who has called us to walk with Him, who with everlasting kindness has drawn us to His side, and the Father who gave Him all of those, He shall raise them up again and lose not one of them, and shall in no wise cast them out. That is our shepherd. That is who we worship. And brothers and sisters, I find it a great comfort to know that even though I have experienced peace, when I am in trouble and in trial, though I may not see, and though it may be all dark around me, I have a good and faithful shepherd who is there with His rod and His staff to provide and to protect for me and to lead me home. That's the God that we worship. That is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Even in darkness, there is light, for I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The Lord always continues with us. Let us be blessed to feel Him near and to see that He is walking with us, even in these valleys that we face. May God be with you all.